I didn't even know that Danny DeVito and Rhea Perlman broke up. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah. Years ago. Yeah, they were married forever, and then they got separated and divorced, I believe.
No, right? They didn't get divorced. So they got separated in 2017 after more than 40 years together.
Yeah.
But they're officially still married, and there's no official divorce.
I mean, I think that they were both worth quite a bit, right? Like, there's all sorts of royalties and whatnot that would make this very complicated if they actually were to get divorced.
But they're not going to. And according to all the new rumors that are out right now, yeah. Danny DeVito wants her back, but he's afraid to ask. So I guess they spent all the holidays together and their anniversary together and birthdays together. And he feels like he just misses her and wants to be back 100%. Now, of course, I'm reading all the gossip, so who knows what is real and what's not.
Right. I mean, if you're spending all those holidays together and you're still legally married, I mean, what's the thing that you're missing? Kissing?
I guess.
Smooches?
I don't know.
Is that what it is?
Or maybe like they don't live together, you know,
sure.
You're missing that. It's funny because I have one of my good friends, Chrissy, her parents are like this. They got divorced when she and her sister were very young.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's so funny because, you know, it's funny that you think they're always together.
Right.
They live together. They've been divorced for 30 years. They live together. They go on vacations together.
Really?
They do everything together. And then I was thinking about it, and I'm like, if this is true, it's sad because, like, Danny DeVito wants her back. And I'm like, oh, she's the one that got away. Technically still has her, I guess.
It's also still the equivalent of, like, you know, ask your friend to ask you whether or not you like me or something. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, come on, Danny DeVito, man up. You're a grown up.
You ever have the one that got away?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I would have to think to not even like high school. Like, you know, there's people that you date and then you look after and you go, nope, that was my fault when we broke up or when it didn't work out or whatever. You might have some situations like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think as far as get away, it's the only one I could think of is like going on summer vacation,
mm-hmm.
right? So like meeting somebody when you're on an extended vacation and then like, you know, it's so intense, those feelings when you meet somebody. And then, you know, you go back to school after that or whatever, your regular life, and you never see or hear from that person again. I mean, this is before social media. This is before I had a pager or
right.
a cell phone, Anna.
Yep.
How was I supposed to get in touch with Brandy Brady when I don't even remember her name?
Yeah.
That's the thing, because I didn't write it down.
Right.
Because there was nothing to write down with it.
That's right. They don't have pens on islands. Yeah.
She got away.
I always like to think that every guy that I broke up with or broke up with me believes that I'm the one that got away.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, they must look back and like be like, how did I let her out? Like, how stupid
out.
Must I have been?
As you were locked in a basement or whatever. Right, right. How did I let her get away?
Why did I break up with that girl? Like, as I've learned all these years later, she was as perfect gets. And I believe that in my heart.
I believe that. Yeah, I mean, what a position to be in.
I'm
right?
kind of
feel
like,
that way.
I'm like Rhea Perlman. That's what I'm like.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Seems like one of the newest trends is grilling pizza. And even me growing up in a family where we have pizza restaurants, I never understood how people did this. Joining us, it's six-time Emmy-nominated chef, Chef Plum. Speaking of six-time Emmy-nominated, this weekend is the Emmys. Are you nervous?
I've got to win. I mean, it's been so... last year we didn't win. We've got to win this year, right? That's what I want. Am I nervous? No. Am I nervous-sided? Yes.
Are you candid? Yes, I guess you are. He's like, give me the award already at this point.
Can I just get one? Like, I don't know if I'll ever be back there ever again, but can I just get one? Here's the thing, guys. I just want to take a picture of it and send it to my high school theater teacher because he was such an important person in my life. I want him to see, like, look what I've got.
It's good that he was an important person in your life for a good reason and not like, look what I did, despite you telling me I'd never amount to anything. So grilled pizza... Plum, do I need like a specialty oven for this, or are you talking about something that I'm actually going to put on my grill?
No, this is easy, and you can put it right on your grill. And this is the thing. People don't understand this. Like, you don't have to have a special stone or any of that stuff. You can do it directly on your grill. There's just one key thing you have to do to your grill. Just make sure it's nice and hot. That's all. It has to be super hot before you put it on there, because what happens is you want to cook the outside of that dough before it sticks. You follow me?
No.
So we're gonna get pizza dough. And the best way to get pizza dough, obviously you can make your own, but if you can't, support your local pizza place, go ask them. They'll probably sell you a dough. You know,
yeah.
You don't have to like make it or get grocery store, you can buy it from your pizza place. It's the dough you already like.
You know what my dad told me? They're selling more pizza dough, people just coming in and buying dough, than ever before in the last 40 years.
Yeah. That's interesting.
But it makes total sense. I mean, pizza, everybody wants to make it at home. So make it on your grill. You're going to roll out your pizza dough like you normally would, a little flour on a cutting board, just roll it out. Don't overroll it. Don't make it super thin either. Thin's fine, but not super thin. Like, I don't want paper thin. You don't want to be able to see through it. Make sure that grill is on nice and hot. What I like to do is get one of those olive oil sprays or something like that and just spray your grill with it just in case. You don't have to do that, but if you don't cook on your grill on a regular basis, spray it down so it's nice and ready to go, nice and hot. Hot is the key. Take that dough, plop it right on top of your grill grates where it's nice and hot for about 60 to 90 seconds, because what we want to do is mark the bottom of that, because that bottom is actually going to be the top. Then take it off the grill, flip it, put your sauces where those grill marks are, your sauce, all your toppings where the grill marks are, and put it back on the grill. So now that sauce and stuff can't slip through the bottom of it, so you get those beautiful grill marks on it. It's almost like grilling a flatbread but putting pizza toppings on it. It takes between 4 and 7 minutes, so watch it closely depending on how hot your grill is. It works great. You can do it with a charcoal grill, too. It works awesome every time. I promise you. Just try it.
So when you put the dough on the hot grill, it doesn't, like, around the edges fall into the crate?
Right.
The
like, I mean, I lose hamburgers down there before, man.
No, well, that's the thing. You keep it nice and hot because the second it hits, it stiffens up as it cooks, right? So it doesn't have time to fall down there. I think a lot of people make the mistake of not putting in the grill on hot enough when they go to cook a pizza on the grill, because then it falls through. If it's hot, it won't fall through.
All right. Sounds good. I'm definitely going to try
it
this weekend.
Quick.
Yeah, definitely.
Wow.
It's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do try it, take a picture of it on Instagram, because I either want to laugh at it or I want to clap for you. One of the two.
I'm going to make the world's best pizza. It's going to be so great right on the grill.
Success or failure,
no
right
doubt.
There. It all hangs in the balance.
Follow Chef Plum on Instagram at Chef Plum, or you can go to his website, chefplum.com.
What an incredible and unforgettable journey we've had. And I've enjoyed every minute of it. As this chapter of our lives is coming to an end, I know you'll still be close by. You're like a brother to me, and I consider you a true lifelong friend who I will always adore. I love you, Pat.
Savannah White saying goodbye to Pat Sajak last night.
I mean, it's a long time they've been working together. It's like, what, 40 years?
43 years.
Wow.
You know, when you look at videos of them first starting together, like, they are children.
Fresh-faced.
They are so young. Like, it's crazy to even remember a time like that, you know? I mean, it's longer than I've been alive. They've been working together. It's crazy when you think of it that way.
Traveled the world together, done all those things, right? All those trips, all those getaways, the drinking behind stage, all those rumors.
Raven, producer John,
and Wild
producer
Times.
Sean, it's the last day of Wheel of Fortune with Pat Sajak. Ryan Seacrest will be taking over when it returns in the fall with the new episodes. And all I keep thinking about is, like, it's a sad day. It's an end of an era. Mm. But also, Ryan Seacrest? Like, do you think Pat Sajak was pumped about that, or you think he was annoyed by that?
I mean, it's kind of like a clone, right? Like, I mean, you don't like to think of it that way. If you're Pat Sajak, you think you're so much more than that. But, I mean, at the same time, like, looking from the outside, it's Pat Sajak 2.0. Right? It's the same haircut. It's the same everything.
Like, I don't think he was threatened. I don't think he was bothered or threatened by it at all. It's like, oh, this is who they got? Yeah, whatever. Yeah. This is who they get for everything.
Well, I agree with that, too, is that Pat Sajak carries himself with a certain... I mean, there's a little bit of arrogance there. There's a little bit of self-assuredness. Like, he knows who he is.
You know, it's funny because I don't know if you guys heard, but there was letters that Pat Sajak wrote to Ryan Seacrest, like, to say, you know, I know you're taking over. This is the tips and the things I want you to know.
It's like when you buy a house.
Yeah.
Somebody writes you, like, a message about it, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
And there was a few of them. And we actually got copies of some of the letters that he wrote to Ryan Seacrest.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
John, will you read one for us?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So this first one reads, "Toughen up, idle boy. That nice guy stuff doesn't work on the wheel."
That's what he wrote?
That's what he wrote.
Short and quick.
That's what he wrote.
Short.
You know what I'm saying? Like, this is, you know, this is what I'm talking about, though. I mean, you know, Ryan Seacrest is out here making sure all these American Idol contestants feel better, that they're not too sad about the judge's decision. I don't think that's how Pat Sajak rolls on the wheel.
He likes a little snark.
He likes a little bit of snark.
He likes a little snark. It's true.
Sean, how about you? What's the letter that you got your hands on?
Here's a good one. Hold on. Oh, Pat. "Dear Ryan, you suck. Ha ha, ha ha ha. Stay away from my girl, Vanna. I'll always be watching. Don't ruin what I've created." Signed, Patty Sage.
How am I?
Killing it.
Patty Sage, bro.
That's so funny because the note that I got is similar, too. It says, "To Ryan Seacrest."
Okay.
"Keep your hands to yourself and don't even think of hitting on Vanna or my daughter, you creep." From Pat Sajak.
And, like, if you notice, He definitely wrote that in all caps, which, 100%. Anna, your delivery, you know, made clear, and
looks,
I appreciate that.
Looks like there's one more over here. Hello, Ryan. Many thought it would be appropriate for me to leave you some words of encouragement on the new gig, but I'm going to be petty because it just feels so much better. You'll never be me. You can have the same hair, host every show that's ever been aired on television, but you'll still never be me. Park in my parking space, take over my dressing room, even try and date my daughter, but you'll never be half the host I was. Good luck, loser.
That was harsh. I mean, I knew Pat Sajak had a little bit of edge to him, but I didn't think he was that cold.
He's straight gangster.
Yeah. It's one thing when you're really injured. It's another thing when you get a minor injury and it just hurts so bad that you feel like you want to complain, but you can't.
Something small, but it throbs throughout your body.
1-800-330-9999. We're counting down the top five most underrated pains. Cassandra, number five.
When you swallow something like wrong and it like scratches your throat all the way down, and then you kind of feel like you have this like lumped, scratchy sensation. It kind of gives me this panicked feeling for like a good hour afterwards.
That just happened to me not too long ago. I'm eating kettle corn in the studio and I was shoving it down my throat because that before we had to like get on the air, and I almost choked to death.
Well, you know how you could avoid that is not have seven at a time.
Well,
right?
I take a handful.
No, I know. I saw.
And then I put as much in my mouth as humanly possible.
Yeah, no, I saw that.
Yeah, there's not a lot of food I can eat, but I can definitely eat these kettle corn. So I eat it as fast and rapidly and aggressively as I can.
So while she was inhaling that, we also had to make a phone call. And she's like, let's go.
I didn't think I was going to survive it. I was choking.
I feel like Raven's just asking unrealistic things right now.
I mean, I would have been the one that asked to do the Heimlich, so, you know.
Liam, count down the top five. Give me number four, underrated pains.
Oh, man, biting your gum. It's the worst. I know, and it's like the worst part is that, like, you bite it, and then it's like kind of like a little bit like sore and swollen and stuff. And then like 3 hours later, you're not thinking about it. And you like bite it again because it's more prominent.
Any sort of mouth injury, anything like that. Because you're going to feel it all day.
You bite your tongue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even if it doesn't even really hurt, it just feels weird. Yeah. And so then you're like putting your tongue on it. Like if it's your tongue, that's one thing. But if it's like your gum, you're putting your tongue on it all day. So now you're just getting it, you know, worked up regardless. You're irritating it anyways.
Do you guys eat the insides of your mouths?
No.
Oh.
No.
I do.
I know.
Have you ever seen the inside of my mouth?
No.
You want to see it?
No.
It's really alarming.
Yeah.
And lately I've been eating.
You're still
closer.
Doing it?
Yeah. I am constantly under stress. I can't stop doing it.
I felt like you told me this before and I thought it was going to be you're not doing
it. Close. Hold on.
You're dying. Look at you. Yeah, you're eating the inside of your cheeks. I mean, that ain't right. It's not. All right. Get out of here. Get out of here. Listen. You're like one of them pieces of popcorn that's going to come right back up on me here.
Scott, number three.
When you get an eyelash in your eye.
And then you're not right for like 20 minutes. Even if like you feel like you got it out right away or you have somebody blow on it, you got to put some water on that sucker and then it just doesn't feel right for like 15, 20 minutes.
I have a hack on how to get the eyelash out. I've talked about it on the air before. I've received a lot of emails from optometrists telling me.
Ophthalmologists?
Yeah, ophthalmologists. Or
whatever, you know what
I mean. Whatever, you know, the eye doctors.
Eye people.
They have emailed me and messaged me telling me to stop telling people to do this because it's dangerous.
It's fake.
But it works. If you close your eye really hard and take your finger and you push down for 30 seconds, it gets the eyelash out. But all the eye doctors, I'm telling you, have told me not to do this, but I'm also telling you that it works.
I mean, in physics, just thinking of the sheer thing you're doing, it makes no sense at all. But hey, whatever.
Yeah. Sierra, number two.
Stubbing your toe on the corner of the bed.
Oh, yeah. It hurts.
And the thing is, no matter what, whoever's around you, you're not supposed to scream out. You're supposed to just act like you can handle it. But it's killing you.
And Tessa, number one, most underrated pain, what is it?
A paper cut or a splinter?
Yes. Oh,
gosh. And then when you get some lemon on it, alcohol, any sort of spray cleaning material, oh, gosh, that's when you discover it in the kitchen and you howl.
I can't figure out what's worse, when you get a splinter or when one of your kids get a splinter and you got to get the tweezers out and you know all hell's about to break loose.
What if it's been a day or two that it's been in there?
No.
Now you got to cut it out.
Today is National Donut Day. Most of the big donut places will have some kind of deal going on. But today, Raven?
Yeah.
I was a detective.
Really?
You guys didn't even know. Nobody here knew that I was being a detective.
There was an investigation going on and we were unaware?
Actually, that's
not true. That's the best way for an investigation.
Yeah. Producer John knew right away that something was happening. Okay. Everybody is here right now. Intern Tessa. Mm-hmm. Intern Emma. producer John, producer Sean. Now, you guys thought that I brought in a dozen donuts to be nice because it was donut day.
She's so slick. Yeah.
I paid close attention to which donut everybody selected, and then I did the research to say, what does your donut say about your personality?
It's true. You didn't just walk in with a box of donuts, open them up, and say, hey, everybody have a donut. You walked around with them and then, like, opened them like an unveiling and then watched as people took from them. So what did you learn?
Okay, let's start with intern Emma.
I can guess what you learned from me.
First, she selected the blueberry donut, which I've never had in my life and didn't even know what it was. I had to ask
delicious.
Her. I
really
said,
good.
Which one is that? Okay. All right, Emma. It says that you're a lover of the naughty. True or false? Are you a lover of the naughty?
I guess so.
Wow.
I don't think you can say that to an intern. I think that's a problem now.
Sorry, as long as the microphone's in the room, we're all right. All right.
Intern Tessa, you chose the powder donut.
I did.
It says that you like to get your hands dirty and you're a problem solver and you're usually voted team leader.
Oh, I like that.
Is it true?
I would like to think so.
All right. Look, so far, 2 out of 2.
Okay.
All right. Producer John.
Yeah.
You chose the chocolate glaze.
I did.
Okay. You recognize that life is too short and everyone should enjoy an indulgence. So you combine your two favorite things, chocolate and donut bliss. You're always up for a party and will have a wide circle of friends that always want to be around you because you are fun.
I mean, it sounds like it was written by a donut. Like astrologer,
it really does. But I mean, tell me everybody in this room that's wrong. Like that's correct.
It's not all that wrong.
It's accurate.
It's not all that wrong.
Guys, three for three.
Okay. Now here's where it's going to get hurtful. When's that going to happen?
No, here it's going to get real weird.
Okay.
For shots. What a shock!
It's going to make so sense. Yeah, it's going to make so much sense.
No, your results are inconclusive. So, producer Sean.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Producer Sean chose the strawberry pink frosted. And I had to deep dive it because none of the sites and everything I was looking for, I could not find.
They didn't even represent that donut.
No, they didn't represent the strawberry pink frosted donut. So, somehow, as I was searching and searching, I ended up on Urban Dictionary. And whatever you do. Geez. Do not go on Urban Dictionary and look up strawberry donut because it's wildly offensive.
I'm doing it right now.
John, while you do that silently on the side,
let me know when you find it.
Don't read out loud what it says.
Okay.
Because we will get fined. Okay. Now, Raven.
Raven. I mean, it's so much mystery. I'm also going to have to Google that. Okay.
Raven took 3 donuts.
I took 2. Right. 2 donuts. Thank you.
Only person that took 2 donuts. Everybody else took 1.
I took 2.
Raven took 2.
Yes.
Now, I know that Raven's favorite.
They're reading the results of strawberry donut.
I found it. And no.
Don't say it out loud.
Raven, your favorite donut, as I know, is the Boston cream donut.
That's correct.
And it says you could be quite passionate, sometimes a fiery person on the outside, but you're kind and warm-hearted inside. You're sociable, cheerful, even when life doesn't go your way. You're friendly, trustworthy, and empathetic.
Wow.
I know.
Also accurate.
Wow.
Accurate.
Right. I know. I'm going to go look up
strawberry donut right now.
Can we give me a round of applause?
I didn't expect there to be images with this. This is terrible over here, Sean.
It's a day of celebration, but it's kind of a sad day, too. Our high school interns, we have 3 high school interns that have been with us for the last 3 weeks. Today is their last day. And they're going to be done. Guys, when you walk out of this studio at the end of the show, you are done with your high school careers. Your graduation is coming up on Monday.
Don't remind me.
Are you excited? Are you sad? How do you feel about it?
Me personally, I'm very excited.
Okay.
He's like, I'm ready to get the heck out of here.
I'm ready to get the heck out of
here. Wow.
Okay. Well, not the show, but like high school.
High school. I get it. All right.
Yeah. They have been good interns. It's going to be a bummer to have you guys go away. It's nice because we've had some ones before that were kind of... They were also wonderful, but they weren't as fun.
Raven, they're 17 years old. Okay. Matt, Emma, and Tessa.
They don't know who they were.
Okay. Matt, I want to start with you. What was the number one thing you learned in high school that you think made a difference?
I learned that reading's fun.
Reading is fun.
Reading is so fun.
It's fundamental.
Yeah.
That's the slogan, right?
I used to really like reading in like elementary school and stuff. I was really into like Harry Potter, Percy Jackson, but I kind of dropped it in middle school. But my 10th grade English teacher, he was very big on, like, take 10 minutes to read before class. And that got me, like, totally right into it.
Yes.
So, like, that's been, like, a hobby I've been, like, keeping up with for the past, like, 2-3 years now.
I love that.
I mean, that's so good. It's so good for you. It's so good for, you know, your development, too, as it continues on, right? They say be a reader and you'll be a far smarter person, a better person.
And, Matt, what did you learn during your internship here?
Oh, boy.
I learned how to look busy.
That's going to carry you far in life.
I mean, here's the truth is that we didn't really need three interns. Mm-hmm. But when you guys applied, I didn't, when I looked at each of your like resumes,
they were all good.
I couldn't say, like, I couldn't be like, you come and you don't come. Right. So I was like, I'd rather take all three of you and you guys at least get the experience than have mm-hmm. to, you know, say no to a couple of you.
Awesome experience. Well, real talk, it's more like I did learn just kind of how to. Like just like radio stuff, like all the podcast rundowns we've been doing.
Yeah, and Matt, think about it. Yeah. You're on the air right now, probably with close to a million people. Like, think about how the confidence that gives you now that you're able to do that.
Man, I'm famous, huh?
Yeah.
He's like, I'm gonna stop talking now.
Yeah. All right, Emma, grab that mic, pull it close to you. Emma, what did you learn in high school that matters?
I learned how to say, "Can I use the bathroom?" in French, and that's probably the only thing I will remember.
Right, how do you here, say here. It in French?
Est-ce que je peux aller aux toilettes?
Yes. The answer is yes, you can go. Right, that was good. Right.
No. No, you cannot. No.
Do you remember having to ask to go to the bathroom?
Yes, and you'd have to get a pass, and if you were in the hallway, somebody might ask you for your pass.
Oh.
And what if your pass was written too many minutes ago? Now you've got a problem. You've got to explain that.
Yeah.
The best part was if you could get your hands on a stack of passes.
That would be the best thing.
Yeah.
And what did you learn during your internship?
How to mail packages and letters.
Right. We had to teach them how to address packages. They didn't know how to write addresses. That was eye-opening for me.
Yeah, very enlightening. Yes.
All right.
Okay. And Tessa, last but not least, what did you learn in high school that matters?
Well, I'm going to completely rat myself out, but forgery.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I had to write my passes to get into school if I was late, 15 minutes late, mm-hmm. and I have to get a pass. And so I quickly write my pass saying like, oh, there's traffic or something, walked right in, got my green pass, and it was an excused absence.
High school is the only time you need to know how to forge your parents' signature. After that, good.
After that, it becomes fraud.
Right.
Mom, Dad, I'm sorry if you're listening.
I do appreciate Tessa's moxie, though, mm-hmm. right? To just, you know, be like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to handle this problem.
And the last thing, what did you learn during your internship here?
Well, which way is east? That was really important. Right. I did learn that. It's not up.
Yeah.
That and how this is run.
Yeah. Raven, I don't know if we necessarily did our job well.
Yeah, but we had a good time, right? Did everybody have fun?
Yes, very absolutely fun.
All right, good.
Congratulations, guys.
When you're looking to book your summer vacation, probably one of the things you're looking at is how awesome is the beach?
Well, for sure. I mean, for me, that is summer vacation. And if I don't have a beautiful beach nearby, what am I going there for?
Dr. Stephen Leatherman is Dr. Beach, and every year he comes out with a top 10 list of beaches in the entire country. And I got to tell you, some of these on the list, I was kind of surprised to see.
Well, you know, it all depends, Dr. Beach. What are your evaluating reasons, right?
Well, I use 50 criteria to evaluate beaches. Now, that's a lot of criteria, but essentially every beach has got to have clean sand, clean water, and it's got to be a safe beach. And after that, of course, parking available and not overcrowded. So there's a lot of other things, but 50 criteria altogether.
Wow.
Okay, so there's some of these that seem like, I mean, obviously you assume that Hawaii will be on this list, the most beautiful beaches in the country.
I mean, at least a couple of the ones I've been to on Hawaii.
And that came in at number one, right?
That's correct. Duke Kahanamoku Beach, we call it Duke's Beach, Oahu, Hawaii. It's the west end of the famous Waikiki Beach, but it's not often seen by people because most of the hotels are on the east end. But it's worth a walk down there. But it's a beautiful beach. It's very wide. It even has a pool of water behind it, salty water, that if the kids don't want waves, and very shallow water. So it's a very safe and just beautiful area with the Diamond Head Volcano in the background. My goodness.
I spent 2 weeks sitting on Michelle Pfeiffer's back beach area, right outside her back door there with her husband, ex-husband, whoever it was, Lanikai Beach. I thought that was pretty nice. But Duke sounds great.
But then this is where I got a little surprising for me, because you're talking about Oahu, and you think Hawaii, you think beaches. Mm. But coming in number two, I'm not saying it's not gorgeous. It certainly is. But Cooper's Beach in Southampton, New York.
Cooper's Beach really has a lot to offer. It has lifeguards, which is very important for safety. We're going to talk about rip currents later. But it also has a great beach area, food to eat. The only negative thing I say is parking. You have to pay a lot for parking, so I always bring my bicycle.
It's interesting. I think of myself as having way too much to carry. But what do you really need besides a towel?
All right. And coming in at number three?
Well, this is another beach in Hawaii, in Maui, called Wailea Beach. But it's interesting. There's five beaches altogether there. And the hotels, which are beautiful, like the Four Seasons, are all set back far from the beach.
All right, and if you can't make it over to Hawaii and you want to travel within the continental states, finally, we're getting to Florida and South Carolina for 4 and 5.
That's correct. Caladese Island State Park is in, most people know of Clearwater, but it's actually in Dunedin. And the way you get there is you go into Honeymoon Island State Park and park there and get a pedestrian ferry. And Old Salt tells you stories. You see dolphins in the water and a lot of wildlife. You come in through the mangroves. What an entrance. And it's got snack bar and food there.
And number 5, we're going to South Carolina.
Oh, yes. This is Kiawah Island, which is in the Charleston area, south of Charleston, southeast. Beach Walker Park. Now, most of Kiawah Island is private and gated and all that. You know, it's another really expensive area. But outside of that, they set out an area, Beach Walker Park. It's a beautiful beach. The sand is very hard packed, so you can bring a bike and ride down the entire 10 miles of Kiawah Island. It's a great getaway beach. So, again, you can walk it. You can ride bicycles on it. You got a bay there. You can take your kayak or canoe and a lot of wildlife and great for swimming in warm water. What can I tell you?
Dr. Stephen Leatherman is Dr. Beach, and every year he puts out a list of the top 10 beaches in the country. And if you missed it earlier, we went through a whole bunch of them. A bunch on Hawaii, a couple in the Hamptons, a few in Florida, Coast Guard Beach, Cape Cod, Massachusetts, and, of course, Coronado Beach in San Diego in California. Another thing that we know you've spent a lot of your life researching and learning about is riptides. And as a parent, they terrify me because it's so hard to spot them, and they're really dangerous.
I mean, they're deadly, for sure.
Yeah, actually, rip currents are the most deadly thing at beaches, and one that most people don't even think about. You see a big wave, you say, oh, that's dangerous. But sometimes the waves don't even have to be that big. You get, on certain days, you can get a rip current. So on Long Island and in that area, it could be a storm offshore. A hurricane could be 100 miles offshore, and those waves will eventually hit the south shore of Long Island, and oftentimes they will generate rip currents. So if the waves are getting more than about 3 or 4 feet, you just need to look and see, are there areas where their waves are not breaking, okay? Where the waves are breaking means there's a sandbar there. Where they're not breaking, that could be a tip. So there's so-called telltale signs. They're not always present. But also, is there foamy water? Is it moving offshore? Anything moving offshore, you know that's a rip current. And again, these things are very narrow. They're not everywhere. And so they do move around and be there one day and not there the next. So just watch out.
So you want the white water. You want the waves crashing.
That's right. But you don't want to get, you know, knocked around. But you want to seek the white water. That's what they say in Australia. But where you don't see the waves breaking, it's kind of counterintuitive. That looks like the best place to swim. But that's usually where the rip current is.
Right. Dr. Beach, we've seen these tragic stories before, right, where kids go into the water and then the parents are diving in to save them and the parents don't make it. They push the kids out. But, you know, some really healthy people, we lost a firefighter in this area just last year who was like 30 years old and in incredible shape. You know, so much of the riptide is keeping your mind calm, right? What else should people know if they encounter a riptide?
If you get caught in that, in these rips, you want to stay calm. Do not panic. If you panic, you're probably going to die. I might hate to say it, but, you know, you're just going to not know what to do. Stay calm and realize it's just narrow areas, narrow channels in the beach. And so swim left or right, and you'll get out of it. But do not try to swim against it. All you'll do is get tired and eventually drown.
It happened to me last year, Dr. Beach. We were in Myrtle Beach, and I was with my daughter, my 5-year-old, and she had on her life vest, and we were kind of playing. But we, without exaggeration, I was up to maybe my knees because I'm scared of the ocean.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm afraid of sharks and, you know, everything that lives under there that might attack me and take me. So all of a sudden, we were walking, and the next thing I know, I'm holding the back of her life vest, and it's pulling. And all of a sudden, I can't move. I am physically stuck. And I'm, yelling at my husband. I'm like, you got to come. You got to come. And he's like, just walk. I go, I can't. I was, terrified and frozen there. And luckily, it was only to my knees. Imagine if it was, high enough to pick you up, you know?
It'll sweep you right out, too.
Right.
That's the thing. It can take
it
you
will.
Right out quite a distance.
All right. Well, we hope everybody stays safe this summer. Look out for the currents. You want the white water. That's what I'm going to put a little star next to. White water is safe, according to the Australians. They seem to know what they're doing.
Oh, yeah. Everybody in Australia knows how to swim. And by the way, everybody should learn how to swim and always swim near a lifeguard. If you don't, you know, that's the best thing to do.
And if you want to see a top 10 list of the best beaches in the country, according to Dr. Beach, you can head to his website, drbeach.org. Thank you so much, Stephen.
My pleasure. drbeach.org.
It's time for Mommy's Margarita Friday.
Come to Mama.
Anna and Raven.
Mama's Margarita Friday. Of course, it doesn't matter if you're a mom or you're a dad or if your kids are human, have four legs, or you're just in charge of a whole company. We get it. It's not easy to be in charge, and this is your chance to just vent. Amy, what did you do this week to earn your margarita?
So about every 6 months, I do what I call my tech cleanse, but it's not what, at all like what you'd expect. So I change all the batteries in my my smoke and carbon monoxide detectors and my sump pump. I take my car in for an oil change and a once over. And then while like waiting on my car, I go through my phone and I clean out photos and contacts and apps and like my personal emails too. And then like I also will like run a diagnostic to see what I like need to clean it off that and keep it running better. And anyway, I kind of like do all that cleansy stuff that I just kind of dread doing throughout the year.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
It's basically everything on my things to do list that I never actually
That you
do,
never do.
That I never ever do.
I was just thinking how brilliant it would be if there was somebody that you could pay to come in and just do this stuff for you in a day or two, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do I need to start like a tech cleanse business?
I mean, it's not a bad idea.
You make a lot of money,
right? Like it's not a bad, like if you could pay somebody a flat rate to come in and just take care of that for you, what do you think that'd be worth?
$100 maybe?
Called like a
probably a little bit
assistant.
More. I'm guessing. I'm guessing you could charge me anywhere $200 or less, and I think that I would go for it because I feel so inundated by that stuff, right? Like I feel like, and it's like crippling. When you have that, for some people, it can cause quite a bit of anxiety.
Oh.
But don't you feel,
then
Amy?
I could afford margaritas like every time.
Yeah.
Don't you feel, Amy, that like when you actually finish it, like that task, you realize how menial it was and how quickly you're able to do it? It just feels so good that you did it.
Yes, it does. It does also feel like doing it all the time, though. Those little bits does start to like weigh on your brain. You know, you have to like switch tasks. And in your mind, and so it's those little like energy pulls from your brain. So just doing it all at once and being able to focus on it feels like a lot better, I guess, is the way to say that.
Yeah. On that note, enjoy your margarita. You deserve it.
Thank you. Bye.
Natasha, what did you do this week to earn your margarita?
Well, I applied to 10 jobs this week, so I deserve my margarita.
Wow.
I am one step closer to leaving my annoying boss and nosy coworkers. Hey, Nancy.
Wow. What up, Nancy? What's going on, girl?
I'm talking about you, right?
Yeah.
Good luck, right? Good luck.
Did you hear anything back from any of them yet?
Well, I kind of applied today. It's happy hour right now. Shh,
right.
Don't tell my boss. Nancy probably is already listening, but I'm happy.
Well, you know, isn't it weird, like, when you send out, like, you fill out a resume and you send it somewhere, you automatically assume you're going to hear back from them right away.
Right.
And then you're like, oh, no, nobody wanted to call me. Nobody wanted to talk to
That's
me.
That's a tough feeling.
Do you have to have a new job before you leave your job? Everybody keeps saying that over and over.
I think so. And it's good to take swings, right? So if you send 10 out in a day, you hear back from one or two, you're still doing pretty good. So.
Or none. Or good sometimes luck. None. And next week you can do it all over again.
Well,
eventually somebody will get back to you.
That's the grind, right? Well, enjoy your margarita.
Forget you, Nancy.
Thank you. Forget you, Nancy.
Mm-hmm.
One couple.
He just doesn't seem to understand why should I go to this wedding now.
Just say no.
One problem.
I want to see her get married. I want to be there for her.
Make an excuse. She can't go and, you know, call it a day.
You decide the outcome.
It's so awkward.
It's Couples Score on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide who's right. Trevor and Kristen. Kristen, what's going on?
So Trevor is on social media and he's liking and commenting pictures of girls. And some of those girls are ex-girlfriends, two of them. And I don't like it. And I feel like it just looks bad to my friends to see him doing that. And if I was doing it, I just feel like he would think I was wrong too.
Okay.
Wow, Trevor, what's going on here?
I mean, It's what Kristen said, but I just don't see it as that big of a deal. I mean, if the issue is what other people think, it's our relationship. Let other people think what they think. these are girls who have been in my life, who are friends. You know, it's not like a competition thing. It's just, you know, people post on Instagram, you like their pics on Instagram. That's what you do. I want people to like my photos. So I imagine if somebody else is posting a photo, they want other people to like them.
Are the photos that you're liking suggestive in any way, or are they just like normal stuff?
Thirst trap. Whoa.
I guess I haven't really like thought about whether they're, you know, thirst traps or not.
I'm kind of
just like a scroller and a liker. It's like go through and like whatever they're posting. So I'm not like going after pics of them in bikinis or pics of them where they're trying to look good. It's just if they post something, I like it.
Kristen, is that the way that you would view Trevor's liking? Is he just a universal scroller and liker? Like, is he scrolling through and liking puppy photos or something a grandmother did from Missouri? Or is it mostly, you know, bikini photos and hot cars?
I honestly don't understand why he even still follows his girlfriends. Yeah. I don't care if they're just smiling in a picture with their grandmother or if they're on the beach in a bikini. There's no point in liking or commenting. You just look and scroll. Like, don't embarrass me by people being able to see your name in the likes and comments.
I will say that I have noticed when male coworkers here have liked or commented on what I like, it comes up. I don't know how it even shows up on my feed.
Okay.
But like, I guess because like we're shared, it always shows the name next to the like.
Yeah.
And when it's something that's suggestive, I think, ew. Like, but I'm like grossed out by that.
Right, right. You see them liking something suggestive because you don't post anything suggestive yourself.
No, of course not. Right. But if I see them like something or post on something, or like you notice things like that. So I can understand.
It's a statement thumbs up.
Where Kristen is coming from, where like you don't want your boyfriend liking something that is like an ex-girlfriend and she looks cute, and like, and then her friend seeing it and being like, why is she liking that? I can understand where that's problematic.
Trevor, I mean, Kristen brings this up to you. You don't want to stop. You just, you know, why? You feel like this is some sort of type of control or jealousy, or, you know, what? Or liking is your way of life and you've just got to continue to like things.
No, I think you hit the nail on the head. It feels like kind of control and jealousy. And like, you know, this is my phone. There's my time on my phone. I hear what you guys are saying. I'm trying to listen, but it just doesn't strike me as a big deal. You know, it's not like I'm going out and doing anything about it. Like, it's just on my phone. So I just don't really see the.
I have one last question. How long have you two been dating?
2 years.
Oh, it's a long time.
Oh, that's a long time.
Okay, let's see what the audience has to say. Is it a big deal if your boyfriend likes and comments on his ex's stuff or just other girls in general?
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
What if your significant other liked ex-girlfriend's posts and commented on other girls' posts and didn't think anything of it because he says that's what you do on social media? It's completely innocent.
You know, it's funny. All the people that I dated, like when I was in middle school or high school or whatever, we're still friends on Facebook. I would think nothing about, you know, liking one of their posts or one of their photos or whatever. The people I dated probably in the 5 to 10 years before I ended up getting married, I don't think that we're even friends on Facebook. I don't know what's happening in their lives.
Well, Trevor and Kristen are definitely different. They've been dating for 2 years, and Kristen has a problem with the fact that that's exactly what Trevor does.
Yeah.
He's super social, and like he's always on the apps. He's always on Insta. He's always on TikTok, and he's always commenting and liking and posting on his ex's pages and on random girls' pages. And he says, what's the difference? If a girl was doing it to a guy, no one would think twice.
I mean, I would. If that's what my lady was doing all the time, I would definitely think twice about it. I would think about it every single time that it came up. I'd be paying far more attention. You know what? I'm going to go look at what my wife's doing right now.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Kat, whose side are you on?
I'm on her side. I can understand a little bit. I'm actually friends with an ex, but we're also business partners where we help each other out with art. But I would not be, I wouldn't want to have my partner liking anything. And I'm sure like my current partner doesn't like it if I was liking any of my ex's stuff.
Yeah.
He understands this one ex because we have a business relationship. Anyone else, he would definitely not like, and I know I wouldn't like it with any of his exes.
I gotta tell you, it'd be weird for me if my ex had an art thing, because it's that part of their relationship that you don't understand. You better be artistic too, or else I can't stand it. I'm gonna be jealous.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's the Couples Court. But how would you feel if your significant other was so obsessed with social media that they liked and posted on everybody's posts, including their exes? Because that's exactly what happens with Trevor and Kristen. Kristen says Trevor is like obsessed. Strange girls he doesn't know. Exes. It doesn't matter. He's always liking. He's always posting. And she's like, it's embarrassing and you need to stop.
In general, it's not just exes posts and girls, but it's an awful lot of that, right? And it bothers her. And she said something to him and he just says, well, I'm social. It's no big deal. I'm just forever scrolling. But you know what? I mean, that is a habit that people around you can grow to despise.
It's true. But he also says, like, I want these people to like and post back for engagement. So what's the big deal?
Yeah, but she's like, my girlfriends are always like, what is with your dude?
Yeah, what do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Taylor, whose side are you on?
I'm on the girl side because I have been dealing with this issue since I've been with my boyfriend, now fiance, for 6 years.
And you're still together, but he's still doing this?
He's just like the guy in this. He doesn't see anything wrong with it. I'm like, how do you know this girl? He's like, oh, I don't know. She followed me, so I followed her. I'm like, so you just follow people you don't know that are extremely attractive?
Taylor, do you think that he's full of it and actually knows exactly what he's doing, or do you think that he's genuinely oblivious?
Honestly, oblivious.
Yeah, you know, because in a lot of ways, I think my husband is too. I think that, like, he does things and likes things and posts, and I don't think he knows what he's doing. I believe that. Like, he gets confused sometimes.
Let me tell you what would be a great superpower. To let everybody around you think that you're an idiot and you have no idea what you're doing.
I said to him the other day, I said, one of our friends, we went on a double date and she met her husband for the first time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, he said he DM'd you and so you guys could hang out and do guy stuff together. And he looked at me and he was dead serious and he says, what's a DM? He had no idea. I don't know. I think some guys are clueless. I don't think that this guy is clueless, though. I think Trevor knows exactly what he's doing.
Hi, Diane. What do you think? Whose side are you on today?
I'm definitely on her side, but I don't really think it matters whose side the audience is on. What matters is it makes her uncomfortable. Mm. And if it makes her uncomfortable, he should stop doing it.
Thanks, Diane.
Hi, Shaquita. What do you think? Whose side are you on today?
I'm actually on the guy side because I'm in a similar situation.
Are you the one that's liking and commenting on other people's posts?
Yeah,
because
I'm social.
Oh, Shaquita, come on.
But she's just being, it's innocent, right?
Oh, yeah, it's innocent until.
Yeah, it's innocent. I feel like it's a matter of personality. Like,
your phone broke up, Shaquita, but I'm pretty sure what you said was it's innocent until Michael B. Jordan responds and goes, hey! See, I thought so.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Kristen, our audience agreed with you. You got to stop, Trevor. You know, don't like, don't comment. If it makes her feel uncomfortable, it also doesn't look good for you for other people. Just paints you in a bad light.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I hear that. It's a weird thing. It's not how I see it, but it's interesting to hear the public's opinion. And you know, I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable. So if it's something I have to change, you know, it's not something I'm like addicted to and can't change. So I guess that's just the next step is that we change it. You win.
Kristen, all his exes are immediately going to know that door is closed.
Mm-hmm.
Woo!
As they should.
That's right. That's right, Kristen. Weird anyways there, Trevor. Come on. I've been taking notes about all the people you're liking their photos of.
All right, if you have a problem, too, send an email, couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $4,300. Thanks to Sherwin-Williams. Shop the Sherwin-Williams four-day super sale and get 40% off paints and stains from June 7th through the 10th. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Hello, Ron. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
You got it. Good luck, Ron.
All right, Ron. Don't screw this up. We got $4,300 on the line, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, Raven is out of here. He can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. He'll come back in. Same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. Ready?
Yes, ma'am.
Number 1. Adam Levine is back as a judge on The Voice. He is the front man for what band with hits like Sugar and Animals?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, my gosh. How,
sorry.
Ron? How? Number 2. A MasterChef contestant challenges the judges to a fitness contest in the teaser for the upcoming episode. What color are the two teams that compete?
Red and blue.
Number three, it's National Donut Day. What celebrity in 2015 famously licked a donut and said, "I hate America," then posted a lengthy apology on Twitter?
Rodney Dangerfield. I don't know.
Rodney Dangerfield. Number four, a senior prank in Maryland fooled an entire town into thinking that a new Trader Joe's was opening. It was not. There are currently 591 Trader Joe's across the country. What city hosted the first Trader Joe's in 1967?
Oh, my gosh. Tennessee? No, that's not even a city.
That's okay. Number five. Today is Pat Sajak's last episode of Wheel of Fortune. What are the letters that you automatically get during the final puzzle in the bonus round?
R-S-T-L-N-E.
You know, out of all the things I thought you would get, Ron. All right, here we go. 2 out of 5 for Ron.
Not great, Ron. Maybe they're really, really tough. Let's see how I do.
I don't know. Number one. Adam Levine is back as a judge on The Voice. He's the front man for what band like hits like Sugar and Animals?
Maroon 5.
Maroon 5 is correct. Ron didn't get that.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Number two. It's okay. It's all right. It's all right. Mm-hmm. Number two, a MasterChef contestant challenges the judges to a fitness contest in a teaser for the upcoming episode. What color are the two teams that compete on MasterChef?
Red and blue.
Correct. You guys are tied. Number three, it's National Donut Day. What celebrity in 2015 famously licked a donut and said, "I hate America," and then posted a lengthy apology on Twitter?
That was Ariana Grande.
That is right. Number four, did we forgive her for that?
You know what? You remember how much I disliked her after that? She's really talented.
I never liked her again after that. Yeah. Never again. After that, I was like, I don't know.
Here's the thing, and I don't like her personal relationships, but she's an incredible singer, and I'd be lying if I didn't say when I watched the Wicked trailer, she's incredibly impressive.
Number four, a senior prank in Maryland fooled an entire town into thinking a new Trader Joe's was opening up, and it's not.
No, that's sad.
There are currently 591 Trader Joe's in the country. What city hosted the first in 1967?
I'm just going to take a shot and say Seattle.
No, it was Pasadena.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Number five, today is Pat Sajak's last episode of Wheel of Fortune.
Oh, sad day.
What are the letters that you automatically get during the final puzzle in the bonus round?
R-S-T-L... N-E?
Yes.
Yes. Woo! Give me some. Give me a wild, please.
Woo! I'm sorry, Ron. He beat you 4-2 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
This is Ron Packer, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, bro. $4,400 come Monday, Anna.